Welcome to the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast, a ministry of the Wasatch Hills Seventh-day Adventist Church with Pastor Bernie Anderson. Our prayer is that what you hear will inspire, equip, and perhaps introduce you to a new walk with Jesus Christ.
Happy Sabbath, everybody. It's a privilege for me to be here today to speak with you for a few minutes on the topic spiritual living in secular societies. I must say thank you on behalf of my church, the Central Seventh-day Adventist Church, and the Taliki Mamani Group, located at 460 South 800 East in downtown Salt Lake City, for the way that your church has helped in supporting the ministry. I know the first thing that I came here, we were able to do a VBS program with materials that your church supplied. And we were able to do a wonderful job with about 30 kids. They enjoyed themselves thoroughly. They liked playing with the fake walls, bumping heads into walls and not getting scratched. I must say that as we continue to work together, God is going to make a way for us to impact this city for Jesus Christ. Pastor Bernie has been a constant source of strength and support for me. And I know Pastor Ben Carson is a man that has great creativity. I'm looking forward to working with him as he seeks to touch the lives of the young people of this church. I know I'm going to need as much time as possible, so if you don't mind, I'm going to go straight into the sermon. My wife is here with me. She traveled with me to California. We were in California a couple weeks ago. We went back to the Riverside area. I'm going to apologize ahead of time if I make any references to the Los Angeles Lakers in my sermon. I know I'm in jazz country, but we're preaching from the book of Daniel today, amen? And I was taught you ought to be a Daniel, dare to be a Daniel. And if it means standing alone today, I will proclaim that I am still a part of the Laker Nation. So apologies to all jazz fans in advance, but let's bow our heads as we pray. Successful spiritual living in secular societies. Dear Jesus, we thank you for bringing us here into your courts today. And we pray as we open your words that you will give us a word of encouragement, a word of challenge, as we seek to live lives that are pleasing to you in this city, Salt Lake City. Bless each member here gathered and help that the few words that I'll be able to say will make an impression on their heart. It's my prayer in your son's name. Amen. The death of Blockbuster. Netflix. Redbox. Video on demand. Not to mention the extended viewing fees and restocking fees. I knew something was happening. I remember going to a friend's house and seeing them taking out those little red packages and putting the DVDs in their DVD players. And he was telling me then, back then, about 3 or 4 years ago, that every day he would get 3 new DVDs in his mailbox. And all he had to pay was $10 a month. I knew something was happening. And then in January 3, 2010, Blockbuster announced that sometime this year, they would have to seek Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. 1 month, exactly 1 month to today. Last month, September 23, 2010, Blockbuster announced that it would be going into bankruptcy. They have over 6,500 stores in the U.S. plus 17 nations worldwide. Of those, 3,300 are located in the United States of America, but 900 will have to be closed before year's end. In filing for bankruptcy, it was reported that they owed over $900 million. Something was happening. See, faced with competition, Blockbuster decided that they would institute this new policy. No late fees. You've heard it before, maybe. No late fees. So people would go to their local Blockbuster store and rent a movie and keep it. Now, I'm not sure if Blockbuster had me in mind when they instituted those no late fee policy, because I am very forgetful. I am extremely forgetful. I've lost every single document there is to lose. I remember when we were moving here to Salt Lake City, I lost my wallet with my driver's license, my credit cards, my gym membership cards. I didn't use those anyway, so not much of a loss. But I lost that on my way here and did not realize I'd lost my wallet until I was 200 miles away. Never found it. But Blockbuster must have been thinking about me when they came up with the no late fee policy. The only thing was, their no late fee policy was not really a no late fee policy. It was a policy that dictated after 30 days, you own the movie. And they would charge you for that movie. And if you went back to the store and found out that you own the movie and you didn't want the movie anymore, you could turn it back in, and then they would charge you a restocking fee, not a late fee. Are you hearing me today? Faced with competition, the company appeared to change. The company appeared to adjust. The company appeared to be listening to its customers, appeared to be trying to compete in a new marketplace. But it was the same old, same old. I don't know about you, but sometimes the church reminds me of Blockbuster. We say we're different. We say we're doing things in a new way. We say we're listening, but we keep doing the same things in the same way. The only thing we do, we give it a new name. Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 1. Are you with me? Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. I know we love to hear this story as Seventh-day Adventists. Growing up in the church, I was told you have to be like Daniel. You need to be able to take a stand for what is right. You need to be true to duty as a needle is to the pole. You need to stand up and be counted. You need to be a Daniel, But my church never told me about the compromises that Daniel had to make in order to be a successful Christian living in Babylon. Are you hearing me today? See, if you are not willing to change certain things, then the things that you stand for will not mean anything. Let me put it another way to you. If everything is important, then nothing is important. Are you hearing me today? If every hill is a hill that you're willing to die on, then the hills are no longer significant. The Bible tells us that Nebuchadnezzar went to Jerusalem, went to the kingdom of Judea at the time. And Daniel chapter 1 tells us that the first thing that he did when he went to Jerusalem is he took the good stuff. Daniel chapter 1 verse 2 tells us that he took the vessels from the house of Jerusalem, from the temple in Jerusalem. Now the temple in Jerusalem was only, the temple itself was only about 2,700 square feet large. Are you hearing me? Many of us, we have homes that could fit the temple in multiple times. We went to California. We stayed by a friend's home. Her house is over 3,000 square feet. 2,700 square feet is nothing. But the Bible tells us that, and historically, when we look at the material that was used to build the temple, current estimates put the cost of construction at over $170 billion. $170 billion. Nebuchadnezzar went to Jerusalem, and the first thing he saw was the temple. And he said, I want some of that. I want what's inside that. They had gold and silver and bronze and many other precious metals in the temple. And so he took the good stuff from the temple. But not only did he raid the temple, he also raided the people of the country. Are you hearing me this morning? The Bible tells us and history tells us that Nebuchadnezzar went three times to Judah. And the first time he only took the best of the best. Verse 3 tells us that he told his leadership, look ye among the people, search among the people for the young and the strong. Those who are brilliant and handsome and beautiful, look for the best of the best. And I want you to take those people and give them a visa to Babylon. You can leave the rest. We'll take the best. I don't know about you, but I'm hoping that I would have gone in the first wave to Babylon. But don't you know that's my first point this morning? Great empires are built by attracting people of excellence. The world is looking for people of excellence. The world is looking for people who are smart, people who are intelligent, people who are able to acquire knowledge and to use it in a wise way. And Daniel found himself in this first group. Daniel found himself in this first group. He found himself in the group that left Judea and ended up in Babylon. No, the recent immigrations debate has lost a very important facet to the development of any first world country. And that's the fact that first world countries are built by being attractive to immigrants. In my native country of Jamaica, 85%, are you hearing me? 85% of individuals with a tertiary level education leave the island for a first world nation. The research shows us that 80% of individuals in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, educated here in the United States, who are from larger nations such as China, India, or any of these other larger nations, actually end up staying in the U.S., and that has been a major contributor to the excellence here in the U.S. As long as you are attractive to people of excellence, you can build an empire. And now here comes the Laker analogy. The Los Angeles Lakers have never been able to draft great players. But they attract great players who sometimes are willing to play for less because they know that they will be a part of a championship team. Are you hearing me today? Somebody say amen. I know, put away your love for the Jazz for 1 second. Take off those rose-colored glasses and see reality for a little bit. Great nations, great empires, great teams are built on the fact that they are attractive and they attract people of excellence. Nebuchadnezzar was not afraid to take people from all over the world and bring them to Babylon and train them in the ways of the Babylonians because he knew if he wanted to have a nation or a kingdom that would last, it would have to be attractive to people of excellence. The issue for Christians today, understanding the need of the world to attract people of excellence, is Christians today have to understand what is non-essential in their lives. Are you hearing me? See, some things that we are doing, some things that got us to this point, will be a hindrance to us in Babylon. Many of us, we are so in love with our own cultures that we cannot adjust to Salt Lake. Now, I'm from Jamaica. I've never actually lived in snow before. Currently, we don't own a winter coat. And I'm told that we may have snow on Monday. I believe the Lord is pushing the snow back a little, holding back the four winds of strife, so that I can be adjusted, you know, easing me in a little bit. Never seen snow. Never had a white Christmas before. But here I am in Salt Lake City. Pray for me. The Bible tells us that in order to be successful, Daniel had to understand that some things in his life was not essential. See, we're going to get to the part where he makes a stand. But first, before you make a stand, you have to get rid of the dead weight. Bible tells us that Daniel had to change his location. He had to learn a new language. And he had to go by a new label. They gave him a different name. They touched the name that his mother gave to him. I don't know about you, but nobody's going to touch the name that my mom gave to me. I remember coming into this country. My name is Sheldon Ricardo Bryan. But on the I-9 form, the arrival document, I forgot to put my middle name. And I went to get a driver's license, and they told me that I did not have a middle name. I told them, you have got to be crazy. I don't care what the document says. My mother gave me a middle name, and I will keep it. People are very touchy about some things, about themselves, about their culture, about the way we do things. And I'm here to tell you that it is quite okay. You can keep the things that you have. You can keep your location. You can keep your language. And you can keep your label. You can keep your name. But you will not be of service to the king. See, Daniel could have gone to Babylon. Gone on a hunger strike. Went protesting. Been locked up in Babylon. But God had told them in Jeremiah chapter 29, pray for the peace of the city. I am sending you to Babylon on vacation. And I need you to behave yourself while you are in Babylon. I need you to build houses. I need you to marry and give your daughters and sons in marriage. I need you to relax and take the place in and become a part of that place. Pray for its peace, because if it has peace, you will have peace also. So Daniel went to Babylon and he told the king, I'll change where I live. I will live anywhere. You know, some people get transferred from one place in their job to another place and they behave as if they were fired. You have to be flexible if you are going to be a successful Christian. Are you hearing me today? See, our theology impacts our behavior. And for many years, our theology has been telling us, stand, 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 stand. Don't budge. Don't give in. And that's the way we treat each other in our marriages. That's the way we treat each other at church. That's the way we treat each other on the job. But God tells us, the God I serve is the same God who sent John the Baptist and who sent Jesus. Because God is going to use any means necessary so that he may save some. That reminds me of what Paul said. Paul said, I became all things to all men that I may win some. Your church has to be flexible. You have to be flexible. God has given each and every one of us a backbone. Somebody say amen. But you know, the backbone is an incredible thing. It is flexible to some degree. Amen. Now, I remember doing, we had a death in our church this week, part of our Tongan community. Part of the ceremony is you go in and you offer gifts, and then you have to sit cross legs on the floor. I've never done that in my life. But I had to do that. I was fighting with my legs to have them crossed. I think halfway through my little speech, I couldn't feel my leg. It wasn't responding anymore. I went home that night. Decided never again. I'm going to keep practicing, keep pushing it until I am that flexible. Some of us, we are not very flexible. We come to church, we sit in the same spot. We go to the very same restaurants, we order the very same things. We drive the same route to work every day, the same route back home. We still aren't able to give up that shirt that we love. It now has holes in it. But until we die, you will not get it away from us. But God says, you have got to be flexible. Daniel in Babylon had to make a decision. And the first decision he made was he was not going to distance himself from the people of Babylon. If you looked at Daniel, you would not know that he was not Babylonian. He would look Babylonian. He would talk Babylonian. He would dress Babylonian. He would do everything Babylonian. And that's where, are you hearing me today? Because he adopted the culture of Babylon, that's why his decision not to adopt the diet of Babylon was significant. See, if you lose the non-essentials, then you can lobby for the non-negotiables. Say that one more time. If you lose the non-essentials, then you can lobby for the non-negotiables. I'll tell you a quick story. I'll try to make it quick. One of the reasons why I married my wife was in college, going to school in Jamaica. I went to Adventist school in Jamaica. We had a lot of girls on campus, very beautiful, very spiritual, but very inflexible. I told myself I would not get married to a young lady who would tell me, you know, until the Lord tells me to make you breakfast, no breakfast. You know, you have people like that. They're very spiritual, love their spirituality, beautiful people. But any decision they make must be passed through the Lord. Your opinions don't really matter. You cannot have a conversation. You cannot come to an agreement. The Lord has to speak directly to them. They have a direct line with Jesus. And until Jesus tells them to change their mind on a certain thing, nothing you say matters. I love people who have spiritual principles, but who are able to have dialogue like ordinary people do. So my wife is very spiritual, but we can have a discussion. And most of the times I'll lose, but that's fine. We still have a discussion, amen? We still have a discussion. The Bible tells us that Daniel decided to lobby for the non-negotiables. Notice the words I'm using very clearly. He lobbied for the non-negotiables. He lobbied for those things that he would not change. And one of the reasons he did that was Daniel was not only able to speak Babylonian, he knew how to speak to the Babylonians. The Babylonians, if you don't mind me saying this, don't care about your religion. They don't care about your God. In fact, they believe their God just kicked your gods. That's why you're in Babylon. So in arguing for his diet, Daniel didn't say, let's turn our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 11. What Daniel did, he understood he was in Babylon as a wise man. He was there because he was brilliant. And so he went to his supervisor and he said, you know what? I think this thing is going to affect my efficiency. Supervisor said, you know what? I think if I did that, my efficiency would go down 100%. I'd be dead. Bible says God gave Daniel favor. Somebody say favor. Which means he was well liked. If your boss doesn't like you, don't ask for the Sabbath off, okay? Make sure the boss likes you first. Do things that will make the boss like you, fall in love with you. Then talk about your religion or ask for special exemption because you are so nice. You know, my wife does special things for me because I'm nice to her. Somebody say amen? And I always tell her, you know, I don't care what you do for church. When you do something for me, it needs to be more special. You know, whatever you do for church, whenever my wife cooks, she does real nice vegetarian stuff. I always tell her, don't bring it all to church. Please don't. You know, because sometimes you eat that stuff at church and, wow, that was so beautiful. And you go home looking for more. And there isn't any. So I tell her, you've got to save a little special thing for me. I don't know. I love to be treated specially. I'm spoiled. That's okay. I'm a mother's child. Amen. But the Bible tells us that Daniel was liked. And because he was liked, he was able to get some exceptions. But he used the exception in a way that would appeal to the Babylonians. He said, let's do an experiment. Didn't say, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 11, where I'll prove to you that I shouldn't be eating these things. They're bad. He said, let's do an experiment. And the Bible tells us that he lobbied for it. He was reasonable. He told them, if this thing doesn't work, I'll eat. You know, I think sometimes that's the problem with our faith. We don't know if it really works. We don't know if prayer really works. We don't know if this diet thing really works. We don't know if the Sabbath really makes a difference. We don't know if coming to church and if praying with the family and if doing all these things, does it make a difference? Have you proven it for yourself? Would it be able to stand up in the court of public opinions without being set in a religious context? Because people in a secular society do not care about the religious implications of your faith. They want to know, does it make a difference? Will it work? So Daniel did that, and his 10-day experiment proved successful. I don't know about you, but I think there are two extremes that the church oftentimes finds itself moving towards. The first extreme is inflexibility. We've been doing the same thing the same way year in, year out. I think I want to preach a sermon one day entitled Holy Cow. Because you know, the church has so many holy cows grazing in the parking lot. As a pastor, you have to be careful what you touch. If you change the arrangements of the seat, holy cow, you just lost your congregation. My Jesus, some of us, our faith is dependent on the color of the carpets. And if next week the carpets are red, we just send 600 people to hell. Because the carpet color has been changed. We can't be inflexible and expect to be serviceable in the future. And yet, there's another extreme that we often go towards, and that's the extreme of unfaithfulness. See, if Daniel had compromised everything in every situation, all the time, then he would be no better than anybody else. That's the paradox of the world's demand for exceptional people. The world demands exceptional people, but then the world puts all their exceptional people through the same process, and they expect you to come out all looking alike. They want you to eat the same thing and to study the same thing and to have the same knowledge. And when you come to the king, you need to have the same answer for every single question. But I'm here to tell you that because Daniel reserved something special for God, he was willing to compromise on the non-essentials. Not that the non-essentials were not important, but they were not critical for his relationship with God. He was willing to cast those aside, to lose the non-essentials, but he stood on the non-negotiables. And because he had something special reserved for God, God gave him an extra insight that all the other wise men did not have. I'm here to tell you, your faith makes a difference. You know, it's funny that people look at exceptional people. You hire somebody because they're very jovial and they're easygoing. But then you want them to spend half their day filling reports out. God wants us to have that balance, being flexible while remaining faithful. That's a question that we all will have to answer for ourselves. I was not sent here. I have not been sent here by Pastor Bernie to tell you, hey, look, we're going to change this next week. Amen? That's not it. But the Spirit has to be there to understand that I will change anything that compromises my excellence as a Christian. I will change anything that compromises my witness as a Christian. I will change anything that interrupts the communication that I have with the world that helps me to bring others to Jesus. Do you know, and I'm closing right now. Because Daniel was able to let go of the non-essentials and to lobby for the non-negotiables, God gave him a spirit of longevity. Blockbuster is dying, folks. And I think Netflix has caught the vision that people no longer are satisfied with waiting a day to get 3 new movies. We want everything now. You see that ad with Shaq? It's not on demand, it's on delay. You know, don't worry, ladies. Shaq's got your back. Nobody? No, okay, good. That's fine. But the world that we're living in now demands everything instantly. And as a church, you can say, you know, some things you have to wait. You have to take your time. You have a procedure. If you want to help somebody, you have to go through these steps. You know, the steps. You have to fill out these forms. They have to be in triplicate. You know, I remember the conference asking me to fill some forms out. I said to myself, why do I need to fill forms out in 3? I can email it to you. You can print it 3 times and give it to the 3 people that you want. But, you know, erase that part from the sermon, you know. I'm saying we have to adapt. Because Daniel was able to adapt, God gave him the spirit of excellence and a spirit of longevity. He was able to serve through 3 different, are you hearing me? 3 different, not kings, not regimes, but 3 different empires. And all 3 of them said, this is the guy. They didn't care about his Christianity. They cared about his excellence. And because of his excellence, he was able to witness for his religion. You can be excellent, but you've got to be flexible. And you have to be faithful. I believe as we work together as a church, God is going to teach us what it means to be excellent. He's going to teach us the wisdom that endures. The wisdom that is more than a passing fad. You know, it's just something that's in today and it's gone tomorrow. He is going to put us in line with the wisdom that is eternal. We're struggling with issues right now that God says there is a solution, but are you flexible enough? Can you bend? Can you stretch? Do you still have that ability? If you have that ability and if you remain focused, if you cut the fat to where church is not about 100 things anymore, it's about 1 thing. If you cut it to that 1 thing and you remain faithful to that 1 thing, you will survive. I'm going to say this 1 last thing and then I'll sit down. In Jamaica, we have the hurricane season starting in September, August, September to November. Trees don't really do well in a hurricane. You know those huge, strong trees? those massive trees with roots going way down, firm, you can't budge them. But in a hurricane, almost every single one of them falls. The grass does great. The grass does great. You don't have to worry about replanting grass, you know, taking the grass off the top of your house because it just fell on your house. But you have to worry about those huge, strong trees that can't move. That's why engineers know they build bridges and these huge structures to be able to at least tug a little, not too much, but just enough. If we are going to survive as a church here in Salt Lake City for the next 10, 15, 20, 50 years, 100 years, who knows, until Jesus returns, you've got to build within your structure a flexibility that is able to cut the fat, get rid of the non-essentials, but a faithfulness that keeps the non-negotiables. Father, thank you for just blessing us to hear your word. Lord, help us to be like Daniel in every sense, to be willing to sacrifice convenience for the sake of the gospel. Lord, we apologize for our stubbornness. We have given our children and our youth, our spouses and our co-workers and bosses the wrong impression of what it means to be Christian. We pray, Father, that you will help us as a church to learn the essentials of Christianity, to learn the essentials of the gospel, to learn the essentials of Scripture. Teach us how to speak Babylonian. Teach us how to speak to our youth, how to speak to our culture, how to speak to our community in a way that they can understand. And so be successful Christians living in this society. So bless us to this end, Father, and in everything we give you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise, because you're worthy. It's my prayer. Let God's people say, amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast. For information about the Wasatch Hills Church, please visit us on the internet at www.wasatchhills.org. Or you may email Pastor Bernie Anderson at pastor@wasatchhills.org.